Hi, everybody. This is Vicki Woodyard bringing you another episode of Vicki and Swami Z Live. You can probably tell from my voice that I had a really good sob session yesterday. I attended my third Tai Chi class. And after the second class, I found myself dissolving into tears and releasing a lot of old grief. Yesterday, I had a lovely class, and then when I got home from it, something triggered a memory in me, and more grief came up, and I spent the afternoon crying again. This is a time in my life when the old is leaving, and the new has yet to come. While this is happening, I'm playing around with my new mic and just how I'm going to weave the essays found in A Guru in the Guest Room, how I'm going to weave them with my writings, my expressions. So this is just like a beta test, if you will, for me, of possibly some future podcast. So those of you who are listening are quite few in number. Most of you have been on the path for a long time, like I have. And frankly, the Neo-Advaita teachings that once you get it, it's permanent and you never again have to wrestle with your own human consciousness. That's just crazy. Vernon Howard was my teacher, and he did teach the fourth way, which is you live your life in the ordinary world, but you keep one arrow of attention pointed in toward yourself and another one pointed out toward the world. In this way, you come to a deeper and clearer awareness that you are the self. But let's face it, we all carry hidden tendencies, the samskaras, as the Indians call it. We are chemical soups, broths, mixtures of hormones and genetic inheritances. It's all extremely complicated, and only grace of awareness can get us through. And in my case, I have experienced the severe grace, as Ram Dass calls it, the severe mercy, as someone else called it, of many losses during my lifetime. Swamiji came in to began to teach me in a playful way that I was the self. I'm going to read a little essay from the book called A Boat to the Other Shore. Swami is like a boat to the other shore, if you get my drift. He does the duality dog paddle extremely well for an old man. I long for him while I am in his presence. I think it's because he never gives me the satisfaction of letting me love him as I want to do. And I want him to reciprocate. I want a fair trade. I march along with him, jump into the pond with him, longing for him to look directly at me and say, "There you are. I love you, and I will never leave you." When he says it, I will let you know. It would be comparable to, I don't know if there is a comparable. But so far, he just hangs out with me, instructing me on how to slice the cookies more evenly, or begging me to give him more raw dough than any old man should eat. I know that he is lovable, but is he faithful? After all, he tends to vanish like his plates of warm cookies. A hint of vanilla hanging in the air is all that's left. Yesterday, he walked by the elementary school and joined in recess. In a rope swing, his old legs were pumping, and soon all the kids were following him. I would like to be one of those kids following Swami, but often he is inscrutable and unsuitable, just a dumb old doughboy. So that's from the book, A Guru in the Guest Room, and what I want to do is begin to give you a feel for how I interact with that character. And hopefully you will see that something larger than the persona is hidden there in this deceptively simple little book. I didn't plan on writing it. The book just happened one essay at a time. There was no outline that I was to follow. My calling has always been to just write and speak in the moment. So A Guru in the Guest Room was written in the moment during some very dark moments of my life. I just don't have much truck with people that say that life is always easy or always blissful. Out of suffering, out of that seed bed of suffering, the light begins to reform you in a higher way, begins to develop your essence. And that is what I'm interested in sharing with you, the listener. Thank you so much, and come back.